The Yom Tov Sheni Didan. It's two lines from the bottom of the Rosh. The Yom Tov Sheni Didan, Hu Kiyom Rishon. And the way that we treat the second day of Yom Tov is like Yom Rishon, for Isi Deus Acheres to Poskim. I saw others who say otherwise, meaning we won't say whom, the Rambam. Vinalesi the Kosom, Kilo Yashub Einai. Kasher Kasafti Kachikar. He says, nothing doing. He says, the Yom Tov Sheni we treat with the same stringencies with respect to Yom Tov Rishon. You should know, one of the early essays that was published by Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Soloveitchik only wrote to publish two volumes of Chidushei Torah in his lifetime, Shiurim Zecher Avi Mori. So one of his early essays was precisely regarding this issue of what's the distinction between Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni according to the Rambam. So one explanation is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Tokono, in which he distinguished between which he said that you'll have the 7 days that you're going to be shaking the lulav, and it's all basically going to, except for the first day, it's all going to be drabon and bigulin. That was before the Yom Tov Sheni was established altogether. So when he established the taking of the lulav in Chutz La'aretz altogether, Begulin, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, altogether on the second day of Yontif, it was before there was a Takana to establish a second day of Yontif. So therefore, whatever was originally included in Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Takana of shaking 7 days, whatever leniencies would have originally been applicable to the days after the first day, namely you can be Mekel if it's Chaser and so forth, so that would have applied forever, because that's when the Takana was made. And the Takana of Yom Tov Sheni was only made at a much later point in time, and therefore that's the explanation that Rav Soloveitchik gives. You could say that within the Rambam in general has a shita that when you have an outcome by treating Yom Tov Sheni the same as Yom Tov Rishon, it's going to prevent you from doing a mitzvah. And if I would treat it like a real second day as opposed to a first day, then you would more readily be able to perform the mitzvah. So then the Rambam is in general more makel. He doesn't says that the hour, it's like a takanas chavamim based on minagav osenu biyadenu nowadays, that we treat the second day with the same severity as the first day. But if it's going to result in not being able to do a mitzvah, what's an example of that? The Rambam is makel. If I had a baby that was born, it was a suffix, the day that would, where the 8th day would fall out on the second day of Yontif, and suffix that it was Bein Hashmasha, so that maybe the baby was the previous day and the 9th day is going to fall out on the second day. So the Rambam holds, if I have a suffix, Ben Ches, Ben Tes, I do the Bris Milah on the second day of Yontif. So the Rambam, we see, has this sense of being Mekel if it's you're otherwise going to be Mevatel a mitzvah. So here, you're otherwise going to potentially mevatel a mitzvah. Me'ikar adin, this lulav is kosher. So why not take the lulav? So I think maybe that's the explanation within the Rambam. And now, how do we paskin? We take a look in Shulchan Aruch, source Kof Aleph on page 5. Ha'osim shnei yamim tovim. Those who are in Chutz La'aretz to make a second day of a yontif, p'sulei vishon notim b'sheining, you do take it. We have a compromise view. We paskin, like the Rambam, that you can certainly shake it, about baruchei lo mevachinen. But when it comes to a bracha, so we say, sapek brachos lahakam. Mishnah Berurah explains, the yeshpah deyes v'poskim, v'kim v'dan olosim v'shin sveka, the yomim v'shin dino k'rishon, or the kim v'dan v'kim v'kbiya d'yacha, dino k'shav yomim. The kak nolden, but the lake acher. Therefore, you can certainly take a lulav that's chaser, and just don't make a bracha. Even though if there wasn't another option, you take it the first day too. He says, no, but that is when you have, even if you worked really, really hard, you wouldn't find another one. There's only one in town. Here, you can, if you really searched high and wide and looked all over the place, you would find another lulav potentially, but you don't have to trouble yourself so much. You could take it. Just that don't make a bracha. But I think most people are uncomfortable with the notion of not making a bracha. So, Baruch Hashem, nowadays we have many, many different options available to us. So you could probably find the kosher lulav on the second day. And we see that certainly in terms of making a bracha, you need to have a arba minim on the second day of Yontif that would meet the same criteria as the first day of Yontif. Now,
same psul that you would make a bracha for during Chol HaMoed,
you would not make a bracha on the second day. Correct. So if I had, the nita pitamta, the pitam, in the fashion that I described, it's hanging by a thread, or the shoshanta fell off, something like that, or I had neklaka tiyomis a little bit, in a noticeable fashion, but it was only a little bit. So then you can make a bracha after the second day of Yontif, or during Chol HaMoed, no problem, make a bracha the second day of Yontif. You could take it, and we're not going to say that you aren't mekayim the mitzvah. We'll even say you were mekayim the mitzvah, but don't make a bracha. Don't make a bracha. So people feel gypped if you don't make a bracha. But you know what? Answer remain to somebody else's bracha. So this way you could satisfy all the shittas. Or if somebody else is making a bracha, borrow their lulav and esrog afterwards, because borrowing is okay on after the first day. Although on the second day you have to be machmir about borrowing, right? But have them give it to you. It's a good kasha. So let me rephrase that. Have them give it to you as a gift. Have them give it to you as a gift. Yeah, giving as a gift is okay the first day too. But even if it's a katan, you can give it to a katan as a gift. When it comes to a katan, we say that on the first day yontif, you shouldn't give a katan a lulav as a gift, because he can't give it back to you, and you won't be able to have it on the second day, when we hold that you still need to own it, because b'inan lachem, even on the second day. However, this year, you don't have that problem. You can give. You don't have to buy an extra set of abaminim for the ketanim, because you can just give them a gift. After your yotze, you can give it to them as a gift, and who cares that they can't give it back to you? Make sure anybody else you want to be yotze with, your lulav, your wife, whatever, that you've given it to them first. But then afterwards, give it to the ketanim, no problem at all. According to everyone, that's fine. They'll own it, and it'll be, and you don't have to worry about them giving it back to you, because it doesn't need to belong to you after the second day. So we avoid that problem. You don't have to buy as many sets of Abba Minim for Ketanim this year. Yeah.
Regular year, Rabbi would advise getting each of the Ketanim their own set of Luminasra?
L'chatzkila, we say you should get each Ketanim who's Vahigia L'chinov. You should get them their own set. L'chatzkila. But you can't afford it. You can rely on the Mordechai that maybe they don't have to fulfill the mitzvah exactly the same way with all the pratim. They just have to shake the love. It doesn't have to belong to them. But it's a machlokes. According to the Ritva, the Chiyuv HaChinuch requires that they do it with all the bells and whistles of how they would have to do it when they grow up. So this way you don't have to be somech on only one shita. So the Chatzkila, we say not to be somech on the Mordechai, even though the Mishnah Berurah fundamentally holds that way. And you should really get Abba Minim for all of the Ketanim. Most of you, don't worry, don't be so, this year, you're fine. This year, you're fine. So the question is, what if somebody finds themselves in Yerushalayim? During Sukkot, this happens, of people leaving right now for Yerushalayim. So here we have an interesting shita of the Bikur Yaakov, of Yaakov Ettlinger. If you look in the Rambam, the Perush HaMishnayos, not the Rambam Mishnah Torah, but the Rambam, the Perush HaMishnayos, seems to hold that the chiyuv b'miktosh of shaking the lulav 7 days, which is the raisa, applies even to Yerushalayim. Applies not only to the Beis HaMikdash, but to Yerushalayim. And he has a whole big discussion, this is source Chav Zayin, that nowadays the Rambam would hold that Yerushalayim still has the same Kedusha, because the Kedusha would extend, since he held that the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is Kitshel Asi Lava, because Shkina Eina B'Teila. So therefore, you have the same a type of Kedusha that resides in Yerushalayim today. The truth is, the second Beis HaMikdash period, the Rambam holds that even the Kedusha Saaretz extends until the present day, but certainly Kedusha of Yerushalayim would extend until the present day. So therefore, he held that you would still have a mitzvah deraisa in the old city of shaking the lulav all 7 days. So this is especially pertinent this year. Somebody is crestfallen. They're not able to fulfill the mitzvah deraisa. No problem. Get on a plane. Get on a plane. Go to Eretz Yisrael. Get yourself into the old city. You shake yourself. You shake the lulav, and you'll be perfectly fine. But you have to be very careful, because the Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger is machmir like the shita of Tosfos. Tosfos holds that this distinction between the first day and the other days of Sukkot, in terms of what's kosher and what's not kosher, so Tosfos holds that there's no such distinction on a deraisa level. That's only on a derabanan level. Whenever you have a chiv to shake the lulav deraisa, like in the Beis HaMikdash, so then you would have all the psulim of the first day, including a borrowed lulav, would apply all 7 days. The Ritva and the Ramban happen to hold not so. The Ritva and the Ramban happen to hold that if it's the psul of shaul, of it, that you can't have a borrowed lulav on the first day, since that's not intrinsic to the psulim of the lulav itself. It's something which is considered to be extrinsic. So therefore, that really is only on the first day even in the Beis HaMikdash, that would only be on the first day. That's the Shita of the Ritva and the Ramban. However, the opinion of the Tosfos, which is in source Yutes of the materials, is that no, when it comes to anything which is the Araisa, there's no distinction whatsoever. So therefore, Rabbi Yaakov Edlinger held that when it comes to nowadays, you want to fulfill the mitzvah Daraisa, you can go to the Old City, second day of Sukkot, all 7 days of Sukkot, no problem. But you have to make sure that the lulav actually belongs to you. Because he says we should be machmir like the Shita of Tosas. You look at the Ritva, the critical line, if you want to just underline for your own purposes, is six lines before the bottom, where he says that v'shemitzos lachem eno chomer begufan shel abbas minim ela shehekme akasa b'yom harishon, because it says l'kaktem lachem b'yom harishon. So then that applies both on a deraisa level and a derabbanan level, that it's only b'yom harishon, that it has to be lachem. That's with respect to the psul of lachem, but not with respect to the other psulim, even according to the Ritva, would be applicable all of the 7 days. Do we hold like the Bikur Yaakov, that you could actually fulfill the mitzvah of lulav deraisa in the Old City nowadays? It's a big machlokus, because it could be even the Rambam didn't hold this way, because he doesn't say this in the Mishnah Torah that Yerushalayim is treated like the Beis HaMikdash. He says that with Tekiah Shofar, but he doesn't say that with lulav. He only says that in the Perush HaMishnayos, implies in the Perush HaMishnayos. So it's a question whether we really hold that way, but a lot of Gedolim were machmir to specifically go to the Old City, or machmir to go to the Old City and shake the lulav on all the days of Sukkot in order to fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa, especially pertinent nowadays.
Bracha?
They usually make the bracha. Well, yes, make a bracha anyway. You mean if they fulfill the mitzvah earlier in the day, they don't necessarily make another bracha. What? Not on Shabbos. I'm talking about the second day and the subsequent days. Shabbos, we said at the beginning of this year, we don't distinguish between Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael nowadays. Right. Okay. A few quick points.
Why is the distinction for shofar and lulav?
That's a whole big discussion. No. Okay, we'll get into that. Not for now. A few quick points, that I'm going to cover. A lot of people have their sukkahs built by handymen are not always Jewish.
Most of them.
Stam handyman. It's not what kind of the chazaka is. If you're Jewish, you're not a handyman. But we actually have a couple of handymen that are Jewish. But I mean, they need a lot of help. But anyway, if you do have a handy person who's not Jewish, built the sukkah, I'm aware there are people who can. Now, if you have built your sukkah through a non-Jew, the Gemara in Sukkah says a sukkah's goyim is kshera, so it sounds like it's fine as long as she'asa letzel. It has to be put up for shade purposes. So the question is, does a non-Jew know to put it on for shade? If he puts it on for shelter purposes or for tznius purposes, so then it doesn't count. But so therefore, if you do have a non-Jewish handyman, you have to say, oh, put it on for shade. Now, he won't know what you're talking about necessarily. So you have to explain, so that we'll have a shady area and it won't be sunny, it'll be shady. Some say if he does, he knows that you're doing it for the mitzvah of Sukkos, so then that's even better. Some say it's not better because he thinks I want it for the mitzvah of Sukkos be able to have a sneeze or something. He doesn't necessarily know that the reason is l'shem sale.
What's called building a sukkah? You could just do the slachan on it.
So this is a very important thing. So that you look in the source of test of Yaakov Edlinger says, but the fanos ain't kepeda. It's only putting on the schach. He's building the walls. That's usually the main part that you need help with. So really what you should do is get your handyman person to do the walls, but the schach you should put up yourself. What I used to do at YU with Rav Schechter is they had a non-Jew build the sukkah at YU, and then I would go around with Rav Schechter and we would pick up the schach afterwards. If you pick up the schach and you have in mind you're going to put it on for the right reasons afterwards, so you can pick up all the schach, we would pick up the entirety of the schach, and we would put it back down again. We pick it up around the tefach or so.
You
could pick it up with a tefach. You could use a broom. It could be ayidei davar acher, no problem. So that's just something to be careful about. But many poskim hold that if a non-Jew knows that he's doing it for the mitzvah sukkah, so that's good enough. The Tassav Lomina Asoy, I just wanted to note, Rabbi Wiener pointed out to me that there are these sukkahs where they have these frame sukkahs that people sometimes put up the schach and they have the frame, then they put up the walls afterwards. That's the problem of Tassav Lomina Asoy. The Aruch HaShulchan is makel about that, and the Bach also is makel, and maybe you can be makel b'dievet. But the Mishnah Berurah points out that there are many achronim who hold it even b'dievet is possible, so you should be very, very careful that to tell people if you're putting up these frame sukkahs, the walls should be put up first. With respect to Mamid, the general rule is, I'm not going to go into the entire sugya, it's a big, big chumrah with respect to the idea that I can't have the schach supported by beams that themselves are possible for schach. The Magen Avraham is a nice compromise. Even though it appears that's only Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, according to one interpretation, we probably don't hold that way. But nonetheless, and even if we do hold that way, it might be that it's not applicable to any schach which is only pasul, anything which is only pasul midra button for schach, like the Ritva says. But the simple solution is just put down wooden boards and put the schach on top of the wooden boards. The wooden boards are technically not pasul for schach. You have wooden boards, certainly if they're less than four tefachim. And just put the schach on the wooden boards. The wooden boards can be on the walls that are not kosher material for schach. And mamid, if you're going to be machmir for mamid, so then you could be mako with respect to mamid to mamid, despite the fact the Chazon Ish didn't like mamid to mamid. He said mamid to mamid is just as bad as mamid, but the Chazon Ish said mamid is also fine. So since the mamid is also fine, so you want to be machmir, mamid to mamid is certainly good enough to be machmir about to do it that way. And if you really want to do things in a very machmir fashion, since mamid itself is probably not a problem, if I'm only dealing with things that are pasul mid rabbanan, you can use the type of strings like hemp string or jute string which are made from natural fibers that grow directly from the ground. And even if they've been woven a little bit, we paskin in simen tafa resha chafa tes in sif hay, that's the psula with respect to ropes and the things that have been fashioned from what grew from the ground by being woven and the like is only midrabanan. You look at the Mishnah Berurah because it's nishtanet surasan. And according to the Ritva, if it's there's no problem of mamid to with respect to things that only pass the midrabanan, so we're going to tie down your schach with some sort of material, I recommend going to the Home Depot and getting either the hemp string or the jute string, and then everything will be kosher the whole day, or even probably on a lechatchila level. Okay, any questions?
I think that original situation, I think the guy was getting new schach. He put it up there just to get the measurement or something.
Oh, okay, fine, good. Glad that it wasn't what it looked like. Okay, everybody should have a Chag Sameach.